Blog Talk Radio.
To the Writing Mama Show at BTR's World of Ink Network. Be prepared to call in later in the show and chat with our hosts, V.S. Grenier, Marcia Casper Cook, myself, J.D. Holliday, and our guest today, author Karen LaFranc, here at Blog Talk Radio's World of Ink Network, The Writing Mama Show. At 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on May 20th, 2011. As always, The Writing Mama Show can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you like at the same address or on iTunes by researching World of Ink Network. As I mentioned, we'll be taking your calls toward the end of the show. So if you'd like to call in and ask a question, the number is 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259. Or join us in the chat room. Good evening, ladies.
Hi.
Good evening, Jan. I just want to quickly go over a few things as well. Obviously, I'm V.S. Grenier, also known as Virginia, whenever he talks, uses my name here. I'm an award-winning editor, founder of Stories for Children Publishing, children's writer, workshop speaker, and presenter. And with me, of course, is J.D. Holliday, we also call her Jan, who, just through the introduction, she's a children's writer and illustrator, among other things. And then also we have with us Marcia Cook, who's also the host of A Good Story is a Good Story here on BTR's World of Ink Network, agent, script writer, writer of children's and the adult genre. And everything else as well.
Right.
So that's kind of who your hosts are to be on the show. Here on The Writing Mama at BTR World of Ink Network. And then, Marcia, you had a few things really quick about an upcoming
show. I don't know if anybody knows about Magic Block. It's a great site, and it's for children's books. And the owner of it, Jason, will be at he's going to New York for Monday and Tuesday, where they have the show, the BEA show. And the authors, and, you know, he wanted to mention that, you know, he's so happy and he's thankful that, you know, he has 100 new people that have books on his site, and it really is a cute site, so if everybody could go look at it. And he said if somebody is there at the show in New York, that there would be a great thing. He'd like to try to find whoever maybe is there that might know him. His name is Jason Lane, and he's with Magic Block. It's M-A-G-I-C-B-L-O-X. It's a very cute site, and he wanted to offer himself that he would, you know, be there so he could maybe talk to some people that might, you know, either want to be on his site. And it's a cute site, and it's kind of like having a library on your computer. You don't have to buy the book. You just kind of go in there, and it's a little area for children, and parents can read to their children, and it's really cute. And then I wanted to say on May 25th, Fran Lewis will be joining me. It's a Wednesday, and we will be on at 5 Eastern, 4 Central, 3 Mountain, 2 Pacific. See, I'm really getting good at that. That's my hardest part. And
I'm trying to just stick to the Eastern time. It works.
I know.
All right.
Okay. That's the best idea. I know. Okay. 5 o'clock Eastern time. Okay. And his name is Elliot Patterson, and he is a best-selling author. And Ashes of the Earth is the book that he will be discussing along with other things with Fran and myself. And we will also have Sandra Elrod with us. All right. Thank you. That's it. I got it. Okay.
One more thing before you go on, Virginia.
Yeah.
I just want to let everybody know I'm having trouble with the chat room today. So
okay.
Hold on. I'll keep trying.
You know what? You know what? Honestly, before we get, you know, just listen to the conversation. Don't worry about the chat room because everybody's had a problem with the chat room this week. So don't, you know, don't even bother because I think there is something wrong with it. Then I mean, it's everybody.
Oh, really?
So.
You know, it's funny. Last week I had total of eight people come by. So I
wish
I could get it
right. It's not about us. It really isn't. And because other shows have had this problem, and what happened to them is they got. After when they went in the chat, they couldn't come back out and talk, and they couldn't answer the phone, and they couldn't do anything. So,
oh my goodness!
Yeah, right.
Right. So I won't bother with it.
Yeah,
then.
Because if I really think we'll have to talk to them. Okay, there we go.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So now it's VS Grenier back again. So, anyways, so back to the Writing Mama show that we're airing right now.
Right.
we have a great guest tonight, and we're really excited. I read the book once, and then I sat down last night and read it with my girls, so I really kind of wanted to see their expression since it is a book for kids. So who we have on tonight is actually manners teacher, author Karen LaFranc, and she teaches manners classes to kids in Connecticut where she lives with her wonderful family, so we're excited about that. And she has four young kids, all under the age of 10, so she understands everybody what it's like to try and teach your kids to say please and thank you. And that's what's so great about her book. It's called A Quest for Good Manners that she wrote to help parents, teachers, you know, anybody out there basically who deals with kids, you know, people who teach preschool, kindergarten, whatever, to basically learn why it's important to have good manners. And it's done in a very fun way. And she also, besides teaching and writing etiquette books and teaching etiquette classes, she also holds kids yoga classes and some other classes that we'll kind of talk about on the show. So we want to welcome you to the show, Karen. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Karen.
Thank you. Karen. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I know it's not like Nelson. It's like, oh, here's our guest. No, but we're really excited to have you because what I love about your book, A Quest for Good Manners, when I got the email about your book being, you know, debuting and being out, was that it's a fantasy like kind of picture book about a princess, and I had her name in front of me and I don't know what it is now from
Rosalind.
The other
Rosalind.
And she has a pet dragon, so what I love about it is because she has this pet dragon, it makes it perfect. So boys are like, oh, it's just a princess book. No, there's a pet dragon in there, and he's a fun dragon, so boys can enjoy the book as well. But, you know, her mom gets upset with her because her and her dragon, you know, at dinner time, obviously have really bad manners at the table. And so she sends them on a quest. But it's not your typical, like, fairy princess story. You know, she actually has to problem solve each scenario that she comes to, and obviously by using good manners. And I think it's really, you know, cute done. I love the illustrations, you know. Is it Hannah Neal? Is that her last name? Does she pronounce it Neal, or you know?
Yeah, Hannah Neal. She is amazing. Okay. Amazing.
Yeah,
it's called the picture book for a reason, and, you know, the pictures,
she did
such a beautiful job.
Neal,
Did you find your own illustrator?
I did, and it was sheer luck, because everybody always says that they know someone who can illustrate, and to illustrate is such an incredibly difficult thing to do. And, so I was very lucky. She's from London. She lives in London with her comedian boyfriend and her cat. And I was lucky to find her.
Yeah, no, I love them because the illustrations are very Marcia and Jan haven't seen the book because it's...
I was online, so I did see it.
I watched the book trailer.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
Yes.
Very cute.
I mean,
very cute.
Yeah, I mean, it's very vivid. They're bright colors, but they're not too deep, you know, in jewel tones, and they're not pastel. I mean, they're right in the middle of the median, which is what I love about it, because they're still vivid, they're still bright, but they're, you know, they don't really fall, they're not too dark, and they're not too pastel-y cutesy either, which is what is great about them. And I mean, she just captures the characters, you know, the dragon and the princess. Rosalind's expressions perfectly from the context of the book, you know, the text that you have in here. So I was really impressed with that. Now, is this a small publisher that you've published with, or is it a self-publisher?
Well,
I'm just kind of curious because we've had all kinds on our on our show. So,
well, I used to be in publishing, but not on this side of it. I've done international translation rights for Wiley, and I've sold the Dummy series, and I've been to Japan and Korea and France and computer books, and I've done all that. And I've been a writer, and I worked for Virgin Books in London as an editor a long time ago as well. And but when I started to do this, I just started to do it by myself, and I didn't even send it out, which I should have, which I did, you know, intend to do. But everything just fell into place, and I was looking for a distributor, and someone recommended Greenleaf because you can't, and they picked it up. So I was very, very lucky because Greenleaf and Emerald Book Company publish self-published authors, but they're very selective about who they choose. So, and they have a sales force, unlike many other distributors that, you know, represent self-published authors. So they have been absolutely amazing supporting me.
Yeah, that's because everybody that's been on our shows has been talking about the same thing, whether you are traditionally published or you go to a small publisher or whether you self-publish, you still have to have PR. And that's nice that they're helping you out with this.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, JKS Communications is wonderful, too. But they are Greenleaf also. So, of course, they're wonderful as well. So, together, it's been wonderful. The reception has been great. I mean, it's starting to really catch on because people want extra tools to help them teach manners. Parents need, you know, we're so tired of constantly repeating ourselves, which is also very important and useful, but we need a few other tricks in our manners toolbox, whether it's a class or a fun book. And what I've been hearing are that the kids really enjoy reading the book, and that's a pretty amazing thing because as a children's writer, one of the first things you have to be very, very careful of is not to be pedantic. And so the fact that, you know, I'm hearing things because I had owned a children's store until last week, and I think we sold 146 copies in like 5 weeks, and I didn't think we would sell any because, you know, we sell children's clothes. I just didn't think. And what I've heard is, my husband is so tired of your book. He has to read it every single night to my daughter or my son. So, I mean, it's been great, you know, that that the children have appreciated it because it is a sneak attack because it does teach manners at the same time as in entertaining them.
Well, that's important when you're in the book, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. Now, I'm just kind of curious because, I mean, you do teach etiquette classes and you've had, you know, which you were just talking about, you had a store that used to do a lot of different types of stuff, which offered you yoga classes, which now you're, is it another store or is it the company now that you're with? That you, I know you're telling me beforehand, all that trying to change what
I
was going to say.
Well, yeah, I sold my children's store over the moon in Avon. It's a lovely children's store, and we have books and toys and clothes. And but with four kids under 10 and a children's store and teaching kids yoga, manners classes, and writing other books and other stories, it was a little bit too much. So, because the store is a full-time job on its own. So what I have done, I have started a parent and kids resource center in Avon, Connecticut, called the Firefly Center, Lighting the Way for Parents and Kids. And it offers all kinds of classes, like the manners classes, the kids yoga. We do a tremendously wonderful parenting class, a love and logic parenting class that has really had a wonderful impact on lots of people in our area and around the country, in fact, because it is a national program.
That's great. Now, the book, when you wrote it, did you write it with before you decided to transition to offer, you know, this new center, or was it you wrote the book and you just saw how the response was and you just realized, you know, this is the direction I need to go just from the response I'm seeing from the etiquette classes I've already been teaching and from writing this book? I'm just kind of curious about the backstory.
Oh, yes. So, actually, I started teaching high tea and etiquette. And I grew up in England, and I got a certification because I thought, you know, if I'm going to start teaching. So I became certified as a children's etiquette teacher. And I started, I did a very lovely program that turned into a cultural program as much as bringing in the etiquette. And we learned about how tea started 5,000 years ago in China, and we still do because I still offer the classes, to how it came to England how Queen Victoria's lady-in-waiting, the Duchess of Bedford, would get very hungry in the afternoon, and that's how afternoon tea started. And, you know, and then we learn about little etiquettes, little tea etiquettes. And I grew up in England, and I had to learn a few things that I didn't even know. For example, you're not supposed to clink when you stir your tea. You're supposed to sweep from the bottom, from the 6 o'clock to the 12 o'clock position. You fold your teaspoon in your teacup. And did you know that you're not supposed to look up when you're sipping your tea? You look down into your teacup. So all kinds of fun information that.
Well, how did the kids react to this? How did they? I mean, you know, do they laugh? They probably can't do it. You know, they naturally they're probably just stirring. But do they laugh? Are they having a good time? I mean, the boys too. They don't.
I get boys in every class. I mean, yeah, obviously I get more girls. But they love it, and they love tea, and they love, and it's not just a teddy bear tea party. I mean, it's like a real tea. And obviously I offer fruit tea, and they really get, I even bring out maps and show them, you know, I'm like, how long do you think it takes to fly to England, you know, when we're talking about England? And, you know, they're like, 6 days, 5 minutes.
You know, I think, so you know, I think maybe people are starting to do this. Here, I, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah,
because
my grandson
saying,
goes to tea. My grandson's five. This is Jan.
Yeah.
My grandson's five, and he goes to tea. His mom takes him to tea. She goes to tea rooms. She's a member of the Jane Austen Society, and they meet in tea rooms. And he goes with her to tea, and she says he's very well behaved, does exactly what he's supposed to.
Yeah,
so he loves it.
Because I, you know, somebody mentioned to me, you know, Mary Rita, which is all, she's also on the show with me sometimes. She said, "I want to have a tea party for you." I go, "Wait, really? I didn't, you know, I haven't heard of that in years." And so she said, "Yes, yeah, she's been doing them, and people absolutely love them. I mean, it's just something that they relax and they enjoy themselves, and it's a whole different form of relaxation and getting to know people. Just talk, you know, without having to, you know, do much. You're just there and trying to, like, you just enjoy the day." And I said, you know, because I had not heard of this in years. And she and people, I guess people really are probably starting to do this. And it's great that the kids like this. It's interesting.
It is a backlash to in our busy, you know, society that we're going to start seeing things like this, the way that we're seeing mindfulness in children. And we're going to start seeing that when they sit down and they get to talk. And the whole reason tea, when she started afternoon tea, she had bread and butter brought up to her parlor and cakes and tea, but she decided that that was a little bit boring, so she started to invite her friends, you know, Queen Victoria's lady-in-waiting who started this. And then her friends came by, and of course, because she was doing it, became all the rage in London. So it's a wonderful tea. Afternoon tea is about enjoying a cup of tea, but enjoying conversation and connecting with friends. And that's lovely, you know. That's a really special time, and we need to take time out for a cup of tea and a chat in this day and age.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think the nursery schools would probably be fun for them to do and have writers come, you know, and read to the kids stories, because that's a different thing than they're used to. And maybe if they grow up with, this is Marcia talking, if they grow up like that, then they'll continue this through their life. And maybe every now and then they'll remember that during the middle of the day they should relax, because I think people are very stressed out now. And that's a great way.
Yeah, and I'm promoting the book. For example, in South Carolina, I'm going to go to a bookstore called Fiction Addiction, and they've organized a tea party. Okay. And so I'm coming, and I'm going to do a presentation, and we're going to have a tea party. And many times when I go into bookstores, I'll do a pretend tea, I'll do a real tea after a reading or a little manners lesson. So I always do a little add-on, but many times I'll do a little tea. And if it's in a place where they can't, you know, have too much food, then we can do always a pretend tea, and that's fun as well with little kids.
That's cute. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, no, I love this, the whole concept and everything. And what I love, too, is, you know, besides the book, you know, obviously I know you're, you know, A Quest for Good Manners is definitely geared, you know, to the whole children and more, you know, that realm. But what I love is, you know, just listening to you talk and stuff, too, and the fact that when you're going to, you know, do a signing or the fact that you teach the classes is, you know, the biggest thing, like the reason why Marcia and I started the show, The Writing Mama, is because this industry is just, it's constantly changing. It's so fast paced that the whole concept was to kind of talk about, you know, what it's like being in this industry, and that we need to take, you know, we need to realize that we're people and we need to take time out sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do everything. We can't, you know, there's so many different avenues you can go for marketing and publicity and,
even
different types of, you know, genres to write in, from children's writing to script writing to, you know, doing jingles, you know, all kinds of stuff that, you know, you kind of have to focus. And that's what I loved about this book, is because besides the fact that teaching kids good manners, as a parent when I was reading it with my girls, and, I mean, they absolutely loved it, I started realizing, you know, exactly what you said, we need to take time out, you know, in the day. And that whole, you know, concept, which it's amazing when I look at all the other countries and then I think about, you know, here, you know, us here in the United States, it's like we're so, and everybody says that, I mean, the only other place that's pretty much as fast-paced as us and probably faster is Japan. And I'm like, we're so, like, go, 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 that we forget, you know, why is it that, you know, Europe, you know, sometimes isn't as stressed out as the American populations? Because, well, you know, you have in France where they have their afternoon, you know, time, and, you know, England has, you know, their afternoon tea time. And, you know, I mean, you think about, you know, just even like Spain and, you know, Southern America, I mean, they have their, you know, siestas, and it's just kind of like, what are we
Well, yeah, because people don't take time to enjoy whatever is happening at the moment, because they're so busy doing that, they're thinking about the next moment.
Yeah,
and I went, I was at the SCBWI, the New England one, and I did a Twitter workshop, and we were sitting in the audience, and we were just totally overwhelmed of all the things that we're supposed to be doing. And one man, you know, we're supposed to be writing children's books, and children's books are mindful, and now, more than at any other time, because we have to, regardless whether you're with a big publisher like Scholastic or Random House or self-published or a print-on-demand, you've got to promote.
I know.
And it's like, where, and now we have to be on Twitter and Facebook and linking and trailers.
Yeah, it's too much. It actually is too much, you know, and I think that's what's happening to people. That's why it's interesting that you're saying this, because Virginia's right. That one of the reasons we do this show is because we're trying to give people ideas of what they... I've been an agent for 15, 17 years, I think it's now, and I can't really help people anymore because the publishers are, you know, they're not taking a lot of new writers, you know, and so it's all open for people now. They can self-publish, they can do whatever they want, they can start their own companies, which a lot of people are doing, and they're publishing their own books, and I think that now that with all the information that the blog talk shows give, I mean, some weeks I have three shows, so I'm taking all these notes down because basically I've done this for a long time, but people have great ideas. And Virginia, and we all know this, JD, everybody, you know, has met each other and we all share ideas because honestly, you're right, it's too overpowering. And what happens is to new people that are starting this, they said, oh, go on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, do this, do that, do this. And it's like they don't know where to start. And it doesn't really pan out to give you as many sales as people think.
No, I don't think so either.
So what I'm I'm offering, like with my company, and I hope you do send me a few books because we're trying to get more people to have reviews. The more reviews people have, the better it is. And if a lot of the reviewers are not happy with some of these companies, well, we are. So we're all doing review. I don't do reviews myself, but I have three or four people. I know that Virginia's doing reviews. I know that Suzanne, Alicia, a lot of people are doing reviews, you know, now. JD, are you doing reviews?
I do reviews.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so right. No, I mean, but seriously, I think it's worth it for people to take about 10 books or whatever and send them to different people and get reviews from different people. And because I think a lot of the people that are on Amazon don't want to review new reviewers, and it's getting very difficult, and that's not fair. So that's why we're here to do this, because this way it is fair for them, because people are getting out there. And I think PR is great, but I'm beginning myself to say, and I had Anastasia Holdridge on, and she was on, and it's all about branding, but it's branding in a way where you're not going all over the place. You're just focusing and actually putting where you like, what you like.
And we've gotten some wonderful reviews from, you know, bloggers, but then also on, like, the New York Journal of Books, which does a lot of, you know, adult books, gave us a lovely review.
Great.
I mean, so, and it's those things that I use. Those are your selling points, are your reviews.
Yeah.
And when you're talking to bookstores and that, and the end, if you can get the bookstores to buy it, then it sells through, you know. It's for me, at least, with my books.
Yeah, they can. Right. And then when you're showing all these new things, you know, with you know, like Virginia has, I mean, she really does these great videos. I mean, they really are, and she's going into the adult market where they can do the video. And, by the way, Virginia, I did see the kindergarten. It was so cute. It was really cute. She filmed, well, she did a YouTube on the kids' graduation.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
On graduation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Yeah. My daughter's local elementary school, she's in kindergarten. They asked if I would do an event trailer form for their graduation, so I did. So I'm branching into that now, too. But what I love about which Marcia touched on just perfectly, too, is the fact that because you, Karen, you're a certified, you know, etiquette teacher and stuff, I really, you know, think that, and then you wrote, you know, A Quest for Good Manners. I mean, it seems like you've really nailed the whole branding yourself. I mean, did you even realize that you had kind of started building a platform for yourself as an author this way?
Yeah.
Or
no, but, you know, I used to be in editorial, and I'm an English major, and I worked in London. And then a friend of mine, when I moved to San Francisco, said, you know, Karen, you're always trying to sell everything. Like, I'm trying to sell people on the idea of a good restaurant or a good movie. I'm always trying to convince people.
Yeah.
And then I realized, okay, well, you know, what do I want to do? And that's when I got into international rights and selling, you know, translation rights. And they said, well, you have to go to New York for that, or London. You can't stay in California. And I said, no, I want to stay in San Francisco. And that's how I got the job at IDG Books, which became the fastest growing publishing company in the United States in the 90s with their branding of the Dummy series. So I can't tell you how many branding meetings I've been in where they've said, okay, you want your brand to be so strong that, you know, you want people to be able to tattoo it on their bodies like Harley Davidson. You know, that's a good brand. You know? So, you know, and he won the Marketing Adage Award, you know, our company for lots of different things. So I'm always aware of that. And I've also sat in so many editorial meetings pitching titles, you know, where it's like, why is this book different? Why is this book different? You know, where our managing director, that's what he would say in London. What makes this different? Why are people going, where's the market? Where's the market?
Well, you have a market because you're very different, because this is unusual, okay? And it's something, I mean, there might be other books on it, but it's a field that's not really been tapped into a lot. And so this will lead you on to naturally other things. But once you've got your audience, which it appears that you're getting, then you will, whatever you start to write about, you know, with kids, you'll be selling your books. You know, because you're starting something different.
I hope so. And I have to tell you that, I mean, I love teaching manners, and I love the manners, and I love because it's more than superficial things that sometimes people get confused. It's about teaching empathy and teaching gratitude. Mm-hmm. And now studies have come out from the University of Miami and the University of California that children who were, they've actually done studies where children were given gratitude exercises every day for 6 weeks, and they saw that these children were more focused, were more self-confident, were more energized, and, you know, which they equate to happiness. So it's about making, do we want our children to be happy? And sometimes we feel like it's falling on deaf ears, and we're like, you know, and we're saying again and reminding and teachers are reminding. And we're all, I have the same thing, you know, I have a 3-year-old son that is, it's testing definitely the grounds, as children should do.
Well, they all do that, right, it's normal. Yeah,
it's expected. But in the end, it is incredibly worthwhile. That, and also creating a sense of empathy in today's society, it's about, well, manners are about consideration. If I sat down and I tell the kids that, and if I sit down at the table and I just start, you know, taking big bites of my mashed potatoes, like, girls, and I'm spluttering it all over and you can see everything in my mouth, how's that going to make you feel?
Lose your appetite. You lose your appetite, actually, sometimes.
Yeah.
When
or
you
I'm
watch some people.
In your face. You know, how does that make you feel?
And what I love about it is it's such a simple, you know, thing to teach kids. And the sad thing is, you know, and I think you're so right that, you know, I'm not saying there aren't parents out there, because I know there's parents out there who are trying to teach their kids this, but with life being so fast-paced, and, you know, parents aren't, unfortunately, spending as much time with their children, because you know, we have both mom and dad mostly out of the house. There's very, you know, few situations like myself where I'm able to be home with my kids, you know, full time. And I made a really hard choice to leave my old career. I used to be a fashion buyer, and it was really hard to walk away from that money and basically go down to like a little under a third of what we used to make.
Yeah.
So I could be home for my kids. But I knew I had to, because I'd see my kids, you know, my son, before I had my third child, you know, I'd only see him for maybe like 3 hours before he'd go to bed. And then we'd get up and do it all over again. And then, you know, on the weekends we'd see each other. And I was realizing, you know, luckily I had him in private school, and he was getting, you know, and it was in a Christian private school. So they obviously emphasize a lot stronger, you know, being considerate and stuff to people. But I look at kids now, and now my kids are in public school. Not that I'm not in public school, because I went to a public school. But, you know, you hear about the problems with kids being bullied. I mean, it's like all over the place. I mean, that's like one of the biggest things I hear all the time right now in the children's market. Oh, we need more books on, you know, on kids being bullied and how awful this is. And I think that's why the Diary of the Wimpy Kid series got so popular. And I'm starting thinking, why is that? And then I read your book and I started thinking about, you know what? It's because kids aren't learning these simple, basic,
right,
you know,
right. They have to go back to the basic. Yeah, that's what they need to do, go back to the
things,
basic. Right.
Which, and I think you said it perfectly, Karen, that, you know, these simple things and these kids learning, I mean, builds their confidence. They seem to be more respectful, and with that, they seem to be happier. And when all that happens, and then they learn empathy along with that, it seems like we have a better functioning society. You know, really, if you think about it.
Well, you know,
and
they'll be more successful, and you know, they'll be more successful. And you know, it's hard for children to make eye contact and shake hands, and you know, things we can do is, you know, turn them into fun role plays at home, and also tell children that, you know, you're empowered. You get more power if you're able to do this. You get more play dates, and it will be easier for you. And it's hard for everybody. It's hard for mommy to go into a big room and meet a whole bunch of people she doesn't know. We all get a little bit nervous sometimes meeting strangers, and that's okay.
A good message. It's a good message in a different way, though. When they're reading it or when you're having these classes, they're getting a little bit of life in a fun way.
Right.
That's what really this should be for them. It should be fun for kids. This is the problem. Kids should have fun. There's a commercial now that I saw on TV. There's a father, he's out there grilling. And he's talking to them, and the kids are, like, on the computer. They're doing this, they're doing that. And then all of a sudden he decides he's going to just turn the power off. And they didn't even know it was him that did it. He goes, well, no power. And they come out, they go, all right, let's go barbecue now. Because they go, what happened to the lights? And there's no lights. And then across the way they go, how come they have lights and we don't? Because you shut everything off so they can have dinner without anything on. You know, and that's a hard thing now because everybody's so used to being in different rooms, using a computer, using, you know, different form on the TV. Everybody's everywhere, and they're not together.
Exactly, and there is something happening called mindfulness and mindfulness in children. I just went to a conference. Susan Kaiser Greenland wrote a book called The Mindful Child, and I'm fascinated by this, and I'm you know, writing stories, and I just think it's just all good picture books are mindful, by the way. They're really great. They basically bring a child into the present moment or make him more aware or her aware of how they're feeling, and sometimes that's through animals or whatever. But what's happening is that children are very stressed, and, you know, we have these movies like A Race to Nowhere and they're overscheduled, overworked. And don't sleep enough. And so we're going to see mindfulness. There are so many wonderful things. As a kids yoga teacher, I'm bringing in all these mindful games, and it's sensory games, and there are some acting
games.
Their
focus.
Exactly, and it self-regulates them, and it brings them back into their bodies, and they start to see what they're thinking, because wisdom is being able to see, you know, our thoughts a little bit and to notice them, and so that's why even like the NFL is doing yoga, because, you know, when a kid is racing towards the goal, and she's got the ball, and she's thinking, I can't do this, this is too hard, I'm going to miss, it's those thoughts that differentiate the players on the field, and we start to believe our thoughts, and it's fascinating. And I think what's going to happen, you know, how our obesity and our junk food before, we had this whole food, organic revolution. I think the same thing is going to happen with children. I think in our stressed out children, we're going to have this whole mindfulness, whether it comes in the form of like Susan's book and all these wonderful communities that are coming up right now, and also books like the Zen Shorts or lovely books and things like that, and kids yoga, that we're going to have to start teaching them to get back into their bodies.
Have you heard that, though, I've heard this, and I know this to be true, that they're taking away a lot of the gym classes for kids and things like that. And, you know, that they, if they are going to do that, then they should put yoga or even, like, I had taken karate years ago, and I really think karate, it focuses your brain, you know, and
yeah.
I was not great at it because I'm really not that competitive. And it's a competitive sport, karate kind of, but it's very good for your mind because you really focus, and so is yoga. And that's really what will make kids do better in school if they focus.
Absolutely. They see again, mindfulness, she's done it in inner city LA. She's been all around. She's been all over the world. She sees increased focus, higher grades, but those are a side effect. Parents are going to sign up for these classes just because of this. But the real reward is children who are calmer, more grounded, and happier, and not going to be so reactive, because the more reactive we are to the things around us and make huge deals, that's what's causing all this turbulence. And mindfulness is just an anchor, and it teaches them tools just to ground themselves.
Truthfully, adults need this now. Adults need more. I mean, because it's the adults that are teaching the children. So this is a problem. I emailed Virginia the other day, and I said, okay, Virginia, I have like so many emails. Like I go in and I look, it's like 160 emails. I go, I don't know. I just can't keep doing all these emails. I can't do anything else. So then Virginia was right. She said, okay, do them once a day. You know, you're right. But sometimes I have a few different careers here, so I have to like look at my email. But the truth is, you can watch it even in an adult now. You're going like, should I do my emails? Should I do, you know, should I go on the phone and see who called me or whatever? And this is what's happened to people. It's like, what did we do before?
Yeah, you know, I love that you brought that up, Marcia, and everything too, you know, about when you emailed me and I told you, you know, because I do emails in blocks. I do an hour in the morning, and if sometimes in the afternoon, if my kids are behaving, I'll look at them for like an hour in the afternoon, and then I take an hour at night and go through my email, and that's it. Because otherwise it just gets overwhelming. And I think especially in, you know, with, and I've seen, and I'm glad my son's not here because he'd be like looking at me right now, giving me like the dirty look like, Mom, you're bringing me up again. But he's such a great example for a lot of this stuff because he loves computers and he loves, you know, the whole virtual reality video games online and all of that. I mean, he's a huge World of Warcraft fanatic, and which I don't mind, but he will literally, you know, it'll be Saturday, he'll wake up, he'll roll out of bed, maybe eat breakfast, maybe not, climb into his chair for his computer, and he will sit there and tell him, like, Dominic, it's, you know, 1:00 in the afternoon. Have you showered yet? Have you eaten yet? Have you done anything else that sit in front of that computer playing World of Warcraft? And he'll just look at me like, what?
Yep.
Are you talking to me? I'm running around as whatever I am today as well, because he was like spicing like six different characters on there, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, you come back to reality, and I notice that when he does that, he is so stressed out by the evening time because he's just been in this computer world. And my husband and I, we finally told him last year, and he's been fencing now for a year, but we told him, we're like, you've got to do something besides go to school and come home and play video games.
You
got to do more. And we told him to pick a sport, and he was like, well, I have to do a sport. And we're hoping because my husband does Taekwondo. Well, he used to do Taekwondo. He hasn't in the last 5 years, but he's a second-degree black belt in Taekwondo. So we're really hoping that he would, you know, like you're saying, Marcia, go into something like that, because it does help center you and focus you. And for boys, they obviously need some type of physical exertion to help with, you know, because these guys can be more aggressive. So he ended up doing fencing. And I'm glad he actually chose fencing, because besides that it has a lot of what martial arts teaches, it has a lot kind of what you're talking about, Karen, about how, you know, the whole learning etiquette and stuff, because it is, it's a gentleman's sport, and they have to learn to be courteous. And before they even engage each other, there's definite things that they have to do. They have to do a certain type of bow. They have to, you know, let the other person know. It's dueling, you know, and it is
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because it's something that they can carry through. And I think, but Karen, I have to admit, though, Karen, your voice is very calming. I will tell you that. It's a very calming voice. And, you know, especially when I'm getting to learn this more since I have all these shows, you know, I'm listening to people's voices. And, you know, you are very calming. And I think that has an effect when you go talk to the children. I think they probably enjoy it, and they take how they take what you're feeling to, into them, and then they feel a lot calmer because you're not stressed.
Well, you know, I just let me just add something about the email. Let me just add, this is Jan. Let me just add something about the email. You guys are going to laugh, but doing emails, checking my emails actually makes me more productive. I don't know why that is. It keeps me on track. I read an email. I say, oh, I got to do that. Get it done.
Well, I'll give you mine then. I'll send you mine.
Well, I told you it doesn't make any sense to me, but I do get more done.
Really?
Because I work one project at a time as I read my emails and go down and see. Well, I first I put them in the order of what's more important, and then I go down them and just do them. I'm sorry.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I'm like, Jan, I'll send you my 100 emails that I get
in. Yeah, right.
We'll see how calm you are after that.
Yeah. And then you look on and then you go, oh, it's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, and really the truth is a lot of this might be good, but a lot of it is driving people crazy, I think.
Right.
You can get so distracted. You have to prioritize them, too.
Facebook is not my first thing to look at, you know.
Interesting. So let me ask you a question, Karen.
Oh.
It's Marcia. I want to ask you a question. Now, you don't have an e-book. You're not on Kindle or have an e-book yet. Are you thinking of that? You're not going to have it.
Definitely. That'll be the next step.
Oh, you are going to have it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you know, because we talk about this a lot.
I think everybody has to. Everybody has to go into that eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm finally putting my picture book into e-book format. I need somewhere to go. You know, Karen, I have a question for you to try and get back on track because we're, like, all over the place right now.
That would be our show.
Well, I know. She's going,
about
you guys really need to
have stress
matters in the
world. She's like, we're so focused.
We really need to come take your class, obviously. Can you tell? We need to calm ourselves. But with that in mind, not just for kids, but for, you know, writers listening, parents listening, teachers listening, just, you know, the general listeners that we have on the show. I mean, what can you share with us to kind of help, you know, simple things we can start thinking about trying to do? I mean, because everybody's like, oh, my gosh, you know, try and remember to say, because I know I'm, which is so bad, because I don't see it sign my kids, you know, what do you say when you want a glass of water? You know, like my daughter's like, oh, Mom, I want a glass of water. And what do you say, please? And then I realize, like, I don't even do it. Even with my own husband, sometimes I was like, can you just hand me that? So I'm you know, what's something that we can do just in general, no matter what age we are, to kind of help us bring that, you know, etiquette into our lives and that calmness and to kind of, you know, the baby steps that we can take to put our lives on track?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's different things you can say to children than we can say to adults. And sometimes the more familiar our relationships are, the less, you know, we'll say, hand me that or grab me that or you need to do this. I'll say that to my husband. So I'm like, you need to go get that. He's like, you're not going to ask me.
Yeah, right.
You need to pick up the kids. You need to go here.
Yeah.
And so
my husband says, I'm not your employee.
He goes, would you talk to your friend like that? I'm like, no.
No.
But with children, I find that I borrow a little bit from Love and Logic on this one, and that's the parenting class, is that what I can say is, you know, we always have to remind kids. It's like perpetual. You say please, you know, every time they ask for something, and then they say please, and then they get it. So instead saying, ask me in a couple minutes. And because you've delayed it and you say, ask me in a couple of minutes nicely, then they'll remember and they've had to think about it and they're inconvenienced just a little bit. And so I find that's effective with your own children, you know, at home. And then modeling the behavior. And then also because we do fail, you know, I fail, it's apologizing, you know, saying sorry, you know,
Yeah, a lot of adults can't do that, and that's really a good thing. You have to say you're sorry sometimes. I mean, you really do. It's important to say you're sorry. And, you know, that is something that they have. If they don't learn it when they're young, they will never learn it. Because that's
something
that comes
at the beginning. Yeah, and if we do it really easily and it's no big deal, that it doesn't, you know, diminish us in any way,
then that it's a good thing, you know, to own up to our mistakes, and then you go on with life, and everything is better. I think that's a really good thing. Also, I find it incredibly useful, instead, before they go to a play date or a birthday party, instead of being horrified at the birthday party where they just walk in and go for the cake or whatever it is, to say, okay, what are some things that you can do to show good manners? Yeah. What are some ideas? Say hello, say happy birthday, yeah, say hello, Mrs. Jones, so that they're thinking again and that they're mindful. They're mindful when they walk into the party of some of the things that they can do, or where they're at a play date. So how many times do we say at the end of a play date, when we look down at our child and say, yep, you say, can you please say thank you, you know, to Mrs. Oliver or whoever? So, again, setting them up beforehand, what your expectation is.
Yeah, see, that's, yeah, then they'll, well, do they usually remember that, or when they get there, do they get, they see all this candy and cookies and everything, and they're, like, running to it, or, you know, because
they will remember yeah, it much,
that's
more.
Good.
I mean, obviously, they're not going to be perfect, and don't expect them to be perfect, but they will definitely be a little bit more aware of it, rather than at the end saying, you know, reminding them like you do every single time, say thank you, go say happy birthday, and then every single party is the same. You're saying the same thing to, you know, your son or your daughter.
Well, it's a good thing when they remember it, when it's a good thing.
and you know, and when they do it, it's a breakthrough. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah, every little thing is a breakthrough. And I used to say, because I did work for pediatricians for so many years, you just say, you know, when they're little, they have little problems. When they get older, they have bigger problems. And it really is true. So you have to decide what's important and what's not at the time. Because otherwise, if you're always telling them, do this, do that, do this, they won't learn anything, because it'll just be, they'll just not be listening. They'll shut you off. You know, and so you have to make a decision on what really counts.
Yeah, and you want them to choose. So you want it to be their choice, and that life is easier when they choose the right decision. And so you're giving them a lot of choices within those parameters.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that when you choose to, you know, look someone in the eye and say, how are you? You know, they will listen to you more. They will respect you more, you know, and that will help you in the long run.
Yeah.
And and it makes life easier for you. But if you choose not to, you know, it'll be harder.
Now, I have a question back to the writing and editing and publishing side of everything. What would you say with you out there, you know, obviously marketing your book right now, and, you know, with the background, you have a great background with the whole branding concept and everything. What would you say is probably one of the things that you notice a lot of people aren't doing enough of when they're trying to take care of, you know, marketing their book to their readership and getting, you know, the word, basically, the buzz going?
You want to know the secret?
What would you say is your secret?
I'll tell you.
Here's a different one.
Okay.
I don't know, because this is my first children's book, but I have to tell you that I have gotten on the phone or walked into every single Barnes & Noble in Connecticut, made a contact with the manager, and I don't make a big deal. I just say, you know, I just want you to know that I'm local. I'm in your area. If you need me to come in for a book signing, they say, oh, first they think I'm a self-publisher. I'm like, no, it's on your BNN.com. If you're interested, they look it up. They see it, you know, it looks lovely, thankfully, because of, you know, the topic and the cover, and it's got some good reviews. And they were like, absolutely. And so then, you know, I'm going to South Carolina. I've got this event that Marissa and Julia set up for me. And then I'm going on Your Carolina TV show. So I call up the Barnes & Noble there, and I say, you know, I just want you to know I can come by and sign some books. Oh, I see your book here. Oh, definitely. Or Your Carolina. That's a great TV show.
You know what? Do you have returnability on your contract?
Yeah, well, that's my distributor. Everybody does.
Yeah.
I mean, they buy from Ingram's. They don't buy from me or Baker & Taylor or whoever.
Yeah, right.
They
no, I know that because, they do. But sometimes they do put stigma on certain books and certain companies, you know, and because they, you know, because that is what, that's what happens, why a lot of authors can't get in there. It's not that they haven't tried. It's they have tried, and they won't even speak to them. And if they, you know, if they don't have returnability, that's because they, Lightning Source and a lot of places, that's, you have to have this, because if you don't have returnability, they will not have you.
Oh, okay. I'm not, but I mean, they're buying from Ingram, so I'm sure there is returnability. So sell-through is going to be
obviously key, but as an author, I'm not going to have any sell-through if they don't order it in. There's going to be no chance.
Right.
And,
now, that's a good idea, just to go there and hand them a card. You give them a book or a card?
Yeah, or walk in, or when you're in an area, to make sure that you're contacting all the local bookstores there. And I think that's probably nearly as effective as Twitter, spending hours
on Twitter. Well, Twitter, you know what, that's not really, we've talked about this before, Twitter, Facebook, then it's not selling books. That won't sell your book.
No, it's good.
What will sell your book is what you're doing, going out.
Exactly. You know, I want to say something, Karen, just listening to what you're saying, how you go into the bookstores and you just, it's funny because, I don't try and, push myself down. So, you're being very polite about it, which just emphasizes what you teach, anyways, in your etiquette classes and with your book. And I think that's I don't remember who I was having this conversation with, which is really bad, but I was just recently having a conversation with somebody. Oh, it was Julie, when Julie was on our show from JKS Communications, that it's so important that when you're talking with people that you... like last week. This is why I don't remember I was talking to you. It was a week ago. My brain's fried. Is that that it's so important? Like when you're in person or you're on the phone or even an email, and which is so hard in email because you don't know how anybody's going to take
it. That's exactly right.
Why.
Email is so impersonal.
I think that's why I'm so wordy when I write a lot of my emails, or I'm very short in what I say because I don't want anything getting misread. But that it is important that when you make a connection with somebody, you don't want them to feel like you are being pushy. You're just hey, I'm just passing this information on. And you're just. Not that you're it's not a big deal, whatever, but, where it's still kind of in a nonchalant way to where, it's in a very polite, very low-key, hey, I'm just letting you know, do with it what you want. And then I think most people, like you said, they will. They'll, look it up right then and there because they don't feel the pressure. And they feel oh, you're genuine and you're just, you're just trying to make contact and just reach out and make and you're genuine in the connection you're making. You're not trying to
But it also problem is that if you go into a bookstore, which I've done, and there's meetings in Illinois from the Society of Children's Authors and Illustrators, and I went to a meeting and I left 5 books in the bookstore, and then I called and they don't have the books. They don't know where they are. Okay, so then I go, oh, great, And, it's, sometimes that happens, and that's because really sometimes when you go to certain stores, in Chicago, I will say some of them are not that nice. And because I've asked and I've gone in and someone said, oh, yeah, if you take an ad out in the paper for $500, we'll have you. I'm going why would I need you for that? And that's, you have to go through that too, though. See, because it depends on where you're living and what kind of city it is and how they respond, because I know that Fran Lewis is in New York and she's had a lot of trouble too, and she had returnability, but it's just depending on which stores you go to now is if they can do it. So I decided that I will, when I'm going to go in, I'm going to give them a card and I'm going to talk to them, but I don't know if I'm going to keep giving books away because they lost them. I can't, it was 5 books, and so I think that that's one of the problems if you do that, and it's a great idea to do that if these bookstores would pay attention, and that's why we keep, we keep doing what we're doing to try to get people to pay attention to new authors.
Right, and go when it's not so busy, and and also that you're doing them a favor type of thing, that you're a local author or you're in town. That's how I pitch it.
That's a great way, honestly.
I just want to let you know that I'm in town so that it comes off I'm happy to sign some copies for you if you want. And it's on your system, and if you want to, and because I do that, and even when I go into a children's, I went into our local lovely kids' toy store here, and I said, well, if you can get a display, and I have a display, and it takes 10 books. She goes, oh, we normally only buy 3 copies. And I said, no problem. Whatever works for you,
right,
Exactly.
One is fine. Right.
And then she ended up taking 6 in the display, and she has it on the counter now, and I'm doing an event there because I backed off totally. I said, no problem. And then she decided she wanted 6 in the display, and I said, you can have the display, and that's great. And I'm doing a big signing event, Knights and Princesses Tea Party. I wanted to stress again that the book is, and you mentioned this in the beginning, is not your typical princess, Fancy Nancy Pinkalicious, which is wonderful. Pink and sparkly is great, and my 5-year-old can attest to that. But I did want to make a stand that this is a slightly different, it is not pink, and it is about a princess, but it's not your typical, what we've seen so much in this market.
Yeah, I want to say, because in the illustrations, just kind of talking about that, I mean, you know, she's wearing a blue princess dress, and I want to say, you know, kind of think of, like, Cinderella's dress that she made for herself to go to the ball. I mean, it's, like, that level of princessy, so it's not, like, over-the-top glitter crazy.
Yeah, right,
I mean, she has red, and she has red hair. She's not a blonde, which I absolutely
love.
Which
is personal look like. I'm a blonde, but I didn't want a blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the fact she's a redhead. And the book cover, I mean, because I know we have a picture, you know, up on our Blog Talk Radio site for the show today, that you know, it shows her on her green dragon, and then where it says a quest for good manners, it's in his fire, so it's orange and yellow. But the rest of the cover, which they don't see because it's just that image that they see, it's actually, you know, they're up in the sky, so it's a blue background. So it's not your, you know, like when you go look at, like, the Fancy Nancy books or the Pinkalicious books.
I think those are just really cute, but those are definitely for girls.
Really?
I mean, because you're not going to have the boys putting masks on or blueberries on their face, but that is the cutest series. Yeah, it is, you know, and it's just like,
it's adorable.
Yeah.
No one is saying it's not adorable, but I don't want to, there's been a lot of books that are copying the Fancy Nancy look, and I didn't want to do that. And I also, I teach boys as much as girls. And
exactly.
I don't want to.
I think it's a good thing because I have a book that boys and girls, because I have this book called Snack Attack, and I didn't realize originally when I started doing all the, what these books were going to be, if they're going to be boys, girls, whatever, and I found out that really, like, I know my Snack Attack, that's the strongest one for female and male, and that's really what you want. You don't want to really, you know, go one way or the other sometimes because, then you're just not having the audience that you want. You know, but by putting a dragon in, you definitely get boys in.
Right. Absolutely. The dragon sparkler.
He is
enjoyed by the dragons. What boy doesn't want a pet dragon?
Well, that's the thing, And what mother doesn't want that in their house?
She's house trained. Karen, can you share with our listeners, because we're getting winding down to the end of our show, can you share with our listeners your website so they can, you know, learn more about you, you know, obviously about your book, A Quest for Good Manners, and those who are out in your general location, you know, and then, of course, if you travel across the country, and I'm assuming you probably have, like, an event calendar, you post that information, people can kind of see if you're going to be in their area and kind of meet up with you. But I am definitely, I know we have a lot of listeners on the East Coast, and I'm sure a lot of them would be very interested in the classes you offer as well, so.
I have the book's website is www.aquestforgoodmanners.com, and we're also on Facebook. And the events we're posting the events on the website. They're not there yet because they're just the book doesn't officially publish till June 1. But now, obviously, we have lots of events that are. Every day, Marissa and Julie are sending me, so we're definitely going to have to do that to give everyone a heads up where we're going to be in the country, because I'm going out to California as well, the Bay Area.
Are you coming to Chicago at all? Are you going to be in Chicago?
Probably.
You probably will, because Julie's going to be here, so probably you will be, I would assume.
Yeah. So we're gonna South Carolina right now, and all around Connecticut and the Bay Area. It's hard. I have 4 kids too, so she's limited too because I can't jet off for weeks at a time either. I have to do these quick trips. And then the Firefly Center is where we have classes here in Avon, and that's thefireflycenter.com.
Okay. No, it's been great having you on the show, Karen. I mean, your book's wonderful. I mean, you're a wealth of information. I definitely think it's going to be a successful book because, you know, like you said, there's parents who are looking for this kind of stuff, and there's really not a huge selection out there at all. So
thank you. Yeah, I hope so. So far, it's been well received by.
I'm sure this is a great idea. It's a very good idea. You'll do fine.
Are you planning on doing any type of sequels with Princess Rosalind, or are you gonna, or any new books that might, you know, kind of fall into this manners series kind of concept?
I've had a lot of ideas and a lot of rough drafts here. And I there's a wonderful story I'd like to do on the history of manors. We could have had a whole conversation about where the fork came from and how the Spartans gave us the first napkin, which was a lump of dough.
Well, you know what, though? Remember, you know, yeah. Simon Rose, he does history with
yeah.
it. He might want
yeah.
to do a book like that for children, you know, when you get it published, to go on that show, because that's he's teaching history with a
yeah.
book.
Oh really? So I
oh, yeah.
love that idea, and I also love
Simon
I'm also
Rose,
a little
right?
Of mine.
Simon, yeah.
yeah.
Do you
Simon
know when
Rose?
He's starting? Do you know when his first show is, Virginia? Or?
His first show is the second week, second Wednesday in June, and he already has two people lined. I think he's lined up all the way till the end of this year.
Yeah, because
his
concept is about history and books
yeah.
and
he's,
reality of it.
He's
yeah.
a host. Yeah, he's a host on here with us on the World of Ink Network here at Blog Talk Radio. So. He's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right.
We'll keep it
on. Yeah. I'm a long way off getting onto the show yet. It's
yes.
But it's so fascinating. Kids love it. Grown-ups love it. And so that's an idea. And then I also have a little book, a mindfulness book as well, which I like as well. So I'm
yeah.
working on that.
Well, we wish you luck. It's great. It was great
yeah,
having you on
luck
the show.
And we're excited about
and if
it.
You,
yeah.
I don't have your email
nice
address.
You, Karen.
And I don't have your email address, and I'll get that because then we can send it to some reviewers, and then,
yes,
you know, that would be great.
Great
for you. Yeah,
oh,
I'll get it
yes,
from Virginia.
Thank you.
Yeah, the more reviews, the better. Yeah.
Yes, the more the reviews, the better.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Great having you.
Thank
right,
you.
So
thank you. It was fun.
You're welcome. So just so
yeah.
everybody knows, that was Karen LaFranc, and her book is A Quest for Good Manners, and you can learn more about her book at aquestforgoodmanners.com. It is in our description line for today's show, so you can always click on that, or you can contact any of us, J.D. Holliday,
yeah.
myself, V.S. Grenier, or Marcia Cook, and we will always help get you in contact with our guest. Karen LaFranc is with JKS Communications. That is her publicist, so you can always contact them. Julie and Marissa would be more than happy to talk with you if you'd like to do a book review or have her on your show if you're another Blog Talk host listening today to our show. Let's see, next week.
I'm sure she'll get lots of offers. And, J.D., you know, yeah. you didn't give your website, so people will know your website.
Oh, J.D.'s website?
My website is www.thebookgarden.com. The Book Garden, one word, .net. Okay?
And then Marcia
yes.
has Michigan Avenue.
It's
Michigan
Avenue.
Sorry,
mine is www.michiganavenuemedia.com. And I'll be on Tuesday. You have no show Monday. I have a show Tuesday.
Yeah. And then, of course, you can always contact myself, via Grenier, at Stories for Children Magazine. Stories for Children Publishing.com. I'm confusing my two, what I do, because I have a magazine with Stories for Children Publishing.
You do.
So
you know what? And honestly, you know, we need to, I would like to have a show on your magazine, about your magazine, because I think it's, you know, we don't really talk about it enough.
Oh,
we don't talk about it at
fun?
All.
Well, you know, it's going to be really fun, and I can kind of talk about this. Because obviously I do the World of Ink Tours, which are the virtual tours for authors and illustrators that have books coming out, you know, every other Monday, which is on the Stories for Children show. And right now we have Steve Cormy and Rhonda Eden and Lisa Yamina who are doing tours with us. But in June we're going to have Margot Fink, and then I'm actually, because Baby Saint Sugar Paw, my picture book is going to be made into an e-book. And so it's going to be its launch for ebooks
yeah.
next in June. I'm actually going to be doing a World of Ink tour. So it's going to be kind of interesting because the first Monday when we have the Stories for Children show is my day. So it's going to be kind of a twist because even though I'm the host of the show, I get to get interviewed by my two co-hosts, Irene and Chris. So
oh, that's cool.
It'll be interesting. Yes,
I think, you know, because, because really you have a lot to offer. And I do think that people don't realize about the videos because you do them very reasonably, and it's really important that they have it. And even I'm going to start having more script writing shows, and I was talking to people today because I think everybody, the YouTube is a really good thing to have for selling point. It really is. It's, you know, I mean, we talk about Facebook and Twitter, but we're not, that's not really where, you know, it's going to sell. It's going to go.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and you're talking about that, you know, and YouTube is a really good thing, and book traders are really great, and
yes.
The thing that a lot of, I think, authors are missing is that they'll have their publisher, you know, if they're with a big or medium-sized publisher, a lot of publishers actually will do the book traders in-house. A lot of small, independent, of course, self-published authors have to go outsource to have book traders done, which, by the way, if anybody needs a book trailer, it's storiesfortrendpublishing.com. But the reason why I started doing the event trailers, I had actually made event trailers for myself personally for when I do school visits or when I'm at book signings, which are a little bit longer. They're a little bit different. They're not just, you know, focused on your book. There's other things that are involved in them. But when I did the Judy Snyder's book, I Love You, Be Careful, when I was talking to her and she wanted the bigger, 4-minute long book trailer, I said, you know, let's do this in a way where you can actually play this at book signing, you know, to capture your audience when you're at a book signing or you're at a book fair or wherever you're at.
Right.
And that's kind of why when I did that, soon afterwards, I ended up doing, my daughter was, for her birthday, she ended up being spotlighted at the school as a superstar student. And so she was put together, you know, a presentation of her likes and kind of who she is. And she works with me a lot when I'm doing trailers. I'll play them for her just to kind of see what her reaction is to certain, you know, for the kid one.
Yeah, I think the trailers are one of the best-selling features that there are. I really do. I think it is.
Yeah. Well, and that's when I started getting really more into the event trailers, and that's how I ended up doing the kindergarten graduation out here where I'm at for the elementary schools, because I think people are starting to realize that, you know, it's like when you go to someone's wedding and at the wedding reception, how they're playing the home movies.
Right.
This is a way to kind of, you know, to really grab people's attention.
Oh, it's a great way.
Yeah,
it's great. It's a great way, and it really does. You know, I put Freda Roberts. You know, she's on my website now under Marcus Bryan, because she does enhance people's video. You know, she doesn't do videos. What she does is she just can help them with a campaign, and I want her to do mine because I there's only so many hours in the day, and I know that she knows how to do this, and this is a very good thing to do to try to get out there. You have to subscribe to a lot of different people, and I know myself. Mm-hmm. I have not done all the things I should, and even going into bookstores, as she just said, it's very, you know, it's nice to do that, and that's what we all need to do. But the thing is, it doesn't always work that easily because the bookstores, you know, like what I said, I gave my book and then they lost it. So, you know, I mean, and so you really kind of have to talk to the right person sometimes, depending on the state you live in, how easy it is or how hard.
I've learned to ask who handles the ordering of the books at bookstores to make sure I'm talking to the right person.
Well, that's the right person, ordering books. Right, exactly. That's true. Because the manager isn't necessarily the one that does that.
That's true. Very true. But just so everybody knows, because we're over our normal hours.
I know.
We have it for 90 minutes.
So
there's no show on Monday here on BTR's World of Ink Network, but there is on Tuesday right, Marcia? Is it Tuesday?
Yeah, screenwriting. And we have an agent on beside myself, and we're going to have some screenwriters on, and we're going to talk about screenwriting. And then Wednesday is Elliot Patterson. So that should be lined up. And then Friday, before we go, what's Friday? Do you know?
I'm going to get it. Okay, so I'm going to recap real quick. So next week on Tuesday, May 24th, is a good story with Marcia Cook, and it's going to be about screenwriting. And then on May 25th, that's Wednesday, right? Yeah, Wednesday, because Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep.
24th, 25th. I should be able to count here. So on Wednesday, May 25th, again with Marcia Cook, is a good story here on BTR's World of Ink Network. We want to tune to both those shows. They're in the evening, and they're, what was it, 5 Eastern?
Five Eastern with Fran Lewis, right?
Okay, making sure I have the time right. All right, and then on May 20th, so on, and then a week from today, so on May 27th, Friday, May 27th, here on the Writing Mama Show with J.D. Hawley, myself, V.S. Grenier, and Marcia Cook, we will have another wonderful guest, and I don't have that person's name in front of me. Isn't that really bad? So let me just pull that up really quick. We're not having a show. We're not having a show. The 27th, we're not having a show. See, I knew I wasn't losing it.
Wait, next Friday, May 27th,
we do not have a show, The Writing Mama, like we normally do. I'm taking the night off.
Great.
It's my, well,
great.
My son's birthday.
So we're not having a show next Friday.
And the reason why is because my son's birthday is that week. I won't say what day because I've already said his name live, and he's going to probably kill me when he hears
I
said his
probably
name.
Probably
he is
eventually.
Because he gets mad at me.
I could celebrate that day because that was it's a year ago that day that I broke my ankle. So
it's Memorial Day weekend.
So I'm happy about that. That's fine.
Enjoying Memorial Day weekend. We won't be here. I'm doing it because, unfortunately, my son's birthday is always around that weekend, and so we're going to take him to go see the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. So I'm taking Friday night off.
We have no show Friday. Good.
Yeah,
okay.
So we'll be back.
Okay, have a nice weekend, everybody. All right, have a nice weekend.
So we'll be back in June. Yeah. Everybody have a great weekend, and don't forget, next week, Good Story is a Good Story, Tuesday and Wednesday night with Marcia Cook.
Okay.
And that's a wrap.
Bye-bye. That's a wrap. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.